welcome to Ask Win Everyone to give you a little behind the scenes. And no, I'm not blaming anyone, but a 6 foot tall guy, 6 foot two tall guy, aka my dad, sat on the edge of my bed last night and proceeded to sit on my kneecap. And for those of you who know, I have cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy causes tone, and he proceeded to pop my kneecap out. So today I'm sitting here at a gimp, and I have a knee brace on, and just gently taking care of my knee, which I have to go to my day job tomorrow for my last day. And of course, knee needs to be in place, but that's a little behind the scenes of Ask Win, but the show must go on. So today's guest, I guess, did a crazy experiment. He wrote a book with his partner in crime, who's not joining us today. So Mark Day said, I want to write a book and make it bestseller. Well, basically, that happened. It turned into a podcast, which I've been on, talking about why I walked away from Facebook. So listen to that after you guys listen to this podcast interview. And Mark is calling in from the UK, by the way. So if you hear a strange accent, that is the UK accent, but he's a gentle giant. So I'm going to let Mr. Mark Day take it away.
Hey, Wynn. I was going to say, how are you? But you've hurt your knee. Ouch, ouch, ouch.
I've hurt my knee. But that's okay. That's okay.
Wow.
The person fully admitted that he was annoyed, and I said, ouch, loud enough. So I hurt my knee, but that's the price you pay when you're dealing with cerebral palsy gracefully.
Well, I'm doubly glad to be speaking to you today then. I hope you're not in too much pain. But thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It's really, really great to be here. So
well,
let me start.
It's wonderful to have you on. And I'm going to start by explaining who you are and why you did this crazy experiment.
Well, I've worked in bookselling and publishing for over 25 years now. I'm also a writer. A few years ago, I wrote a movie called Robot Overlords, which stars Gillian Anderson and Ben Kingsley and a gang of kids who battle against robots who invaded Earth. If you like Doctor Who, it's exactly aimed at that kind of market. It's really, really good fun. And we premiered at the London Film Festival, and I wrote the novelization of it, which was really cool. It's published by Gollancz. And what happens when you have a movie is old friends sort of get in touch. And an old friend of mine, a guy I've known since I was a teenager, a guy called Mark DeVoe, dropped me a line. He said, this is amazing. You're living the dream. And he lives in Vancouver Island in Canada. He grew up in Britain but moved over to Vancouver Island. And he's one of these guys who is a real doer. You know, if he sets his mind to something, he will get it done. And in the course of our conversation, this little thing slipped out. He said, you know, I've always wanted to write a novel, but I've never got past 20,000 words. I've never actually finished a book. And one thing led to another. We discovered we both had this mutual love of podcasts, and we both had very similar sensibilities. We liked the same kind of music and movies and stories. So we came up with this insane idea to write, edit, market, and publish a self-published ebook and try and get it up the top of a Kindle chart within 12 months. And the idea was to chronicle this on a podcast, but I said to Mark, because I've worked in publishing a pretty long time, I said, more books fail than succeed. So I said, you know what we should do? We should invite our listeners to come on the journey with us. So we put the call out. We said to people, look, if you've got a half-written novel in a drawer, come and join us. And because I work in publishing, I know a few people, so we've had some pretty big names on the podcast, including best-selling authors like Sarah Pimbra, Michael Connolly, Joanne Harris, and we also got Bryan Cranston on the show because he had written his autobiography and he's also a screenwriter as well. And one thing has led to another, and we've got, you know, we managed to write the book, and it got, on the day of publication, we topped something like 10 Kindle bestseller charts. The book is called Back to Reality. And yeah, we had a fantastic launch. So it's been an amazing experience. But the really, really wonderful thing is just hearing, and I've had one today and one just a couple of days ago, where our listeners have got in touch and they've dropped us a line on email or on social media, and they've said, without the Bestseller Experiment podcast, I don't think I would have finished my book. I've just got a publishing deal, or I've just published it myself, or I've just finished that book, or I started that book. So we're all about inspiring authors and getting them to, you know, to start writing and getting their voices out there. And it's been,
yes,
an incredible experience. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, they are. And you guys, I made this public declaration to Mark and the Bestseller Experiment team, and I'm going to make my fans hold me accountable. I'm actually starting a book about meningitis on June 22nd, which is my 31st birthday, and it should take me about a good year to write this book. So I have declared June 22nd to June 22nd of 2019. And if I could get it all together, it will be published on June 28th of 2019. Which happens to be my biological mom's birthday, and we were 6 days apart. And the reason why I'm doing this book specifically on meningitis is because my mom did not die of a brain aneurysm. She actually died of meningitis, and that's on her death certificate. So what I'm doing is chronicling her journey with meningitis, the parts I saw of it, and it's a very scary disease, and I'm actually going to bring doctors and all these researchers in, so I hope to pull research into the book too, because I want to not let other families go through the experience we did. I mean, this woman was perfectly fine, thank you very much, after they chronic the brain aneurysm. She was making to-do lists for a hospital bed, and reminding my dad to go pick up a wheelchair for me, thank you very much. And so viral meningitis took her down, and the hospital, unfortunately, in one in the U.S., so this is a hospital 4 hours away from me, 4 hours on a good day in Denver, Colorado. And the hospital still 7 years later, it will be 8 years, August 12th, and the hospital still hasn't admitted to what they have done to 11 families. You were one of the 11 families. And they just pushed it on the rug. They said to us that they gave it the strongest medication they could, but you can't control viral meningitis. It starts in the spine and goes to the brain, and even with the strong medications, you still can't control it. So I want to do this book, and I declared it publicly with the Bestseller Experiment with Mark and on its Twitter, and I declared it publicly today on the podcast, so I'll be starting that June 22nd, which happens to be my 31st birthday. So there we go. And
fantastic.
So long. Well, thank you for that. But
well, it's great to hear that the
about my fan base.
Well, the public declaration side of it we found is so important because so many people will, you know, say, oh, yeah, I'm writing a book, I might be writing a book, blah, 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 blah. But if you go out there and you say, hey, I'm writing a book, I'm going to finish it by this time, or I'm going to finish first draft by this time, it really puts a fire underneath you, you know. And even if you don't make that deadline, it's okay to move the deadline if you want. But you know what? It just making it public by putting yourself out there, it does something to you, you know, and it spurs you on and you actually get on with it and you start figuring out strategies to make it happen because, you know, it's you are now accountable to other people, you know, you've put it out there and it makes all the difference. I mean, there were times during the writing of our book that I think if we weren't on a podcast, if we weren't in that public sphere, we would have walked away from it. We'd have said, you know what, let's give it a rest. Let's maybe, you know, this is hard. Let's pick it up another day. But because we're in that public glare, we got on with it and we worked through some really tough stuff and we made it happen. So it is, you know, you do, and a lot of writers are quite shy people, you know, that we like putting our words on the page rather than declaring it out loud. But there's, you know, by putting yourself out there, and just putting aside any fear of humiliation aside, you know, you will find yourself writing better and faster than before. And I would recommend it. And I'm sort of doing it with every project I do now. I've just been crowdfunding my next book, which is a fantasy novel called The End of Magic. And I had 90 days to raise about £4,000. And it was hard. It was really hard. It took over my life. But having that public declaration, having that clock ticking in the background, it made me knuckle down and get on with it. And we're now fully funded, which is great news.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. And
thank you.
Congratulations on Oxygen, a TV show. I read that in your bio. I was blown away. I'm like, oh, yeah. What? You did what? And so how did that come about? I want to know how that came about because you did this crazy experiment called the bestseller experiment already. And by the way, the Back to Reality, which sadly I haven't picked up yet, can be found on Amazon in paperback and can be found in Amazon on Kindle as well.
It's only Kindle at the moment. We haven't got around to doing a paperback yet, but we will do it pretty soon. Yeah.
Correction. See, I get corrected live on the podcast. It's only Kindle at the moment. It's only Kindle at the moment. You guys can't lug around the paperback book yet. Yet, because doing a paperback book, you guys, is a whole different beast than Kindle.
Yeah.
Trust me.
I really know. Yeah.
I know, and it's not easy. It's not easy. Yeah. The Kindle version is the easy version, not the paperback version. But I want to know from you about Oxygen and TV show. How did that come about, and what are we doing with that?
Well, I can't talk about the nature of the TV show because there's actually a clause in my contract that says I'm not allowed to talk about the subject of the TV show. But this was after Robot Overlords came out, I did that screenplay, that screenwriter thing of going to L.A. and driving around L.A. for a week and doing all the meetings. And, you know, I made a lot of contacts there. I've got an agent in the U.K. as well. And there was one particular idea that just wouldn't go away. And I kept working on a pitch document. And I started working on a TV pilot script for it as well. And it's just one of these things where you do a lot of meetings. And there was just one meeting I went to with a company called Moon River Productions here in the UK. And it all just clicked, you know. They had read my document. They knew all the names of the characters. They were really excited about it. So we kind of did the deal in the room. So it's what I can say is it's kind of a fantastic fantasy style science fiction TV show. Be a massive budget if it ever gets made. It's historical, so it's kind of set in the 1850s, but it's an alternate history. So there's going to be some monsters in there, some science fiction, and it's going to be really cool. If we can pull it off, it'll be just amazing. So what they're doing now, it's in the development stage, which is where we start looking at putting together a production team, so maybe a showrunner and maybe some other writers and some other materials. So it's all kind of top secret at the moment, but it's really exciting. I know enough to not get too excited until I'm actually either on the set shooting the thing or in a screening and watching the finished thing being made. Because if you're a screenwriter, 99 out of 100 things that are optioned never actually get made. It's part of the dance that you do when you're a screenwriter, because the stakes are so much higher than with a novel. But it's fun. It's really fun. It's all part of the you know, the fun of the circus when you're a screenwriter.
Unfortunately, and you guys, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I am almost done with my fashion journalism degree, almost done. And I have one more week of classes left for this semester. And then I'm taking a 7-week English class by my choice. You guys, no one has forced me to take this 7-week English class. Starting the 25th of June, which is a couple of days after my birthday, but at least I don't have to be stuck in by my computer on my birthday. So I am now coming to find out that the journalism is really, 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 really difficult, really difficult, just like writing a novel. And I thought writing a novel was easy. I thought, but I'm like, really? When you're crazy to get into journalism, and I'm doing it, and I'm loving it, but I'm coming to find out that journalism is going to be a whole different beast in itself. So, Mark, I understand your pain about auctioning a TV show, my God, because I'm on the side of journalism and potentially reviewing shows and reviewing fashion shows, not TV shows. Although if someone gave me a job to review TV shows, I would take that too. But I'm coming to find out that it's a dog-eat-dog society out there. I'm coming to find out that the publishing industry is changing 1,000 miles a minute. And luckily, I'm in the publishing industry already, so this fashion journalism is another feather to my cap. But I'm coming to find out that it's difficult. So I can't imagine your frustration when they come back to you and say, we need this amount of money. Can you help us get it?
Well, look, here's the thing. Any writing worth its salt is hard, you know, because you have to dig deep and you have to be truthful. But I tell you what really helps, what will really help any writer out there, is sincere passion for what you are writing. When I went into that pitch room, I was excited about the project I had written. It came from a personal place. I was passionate about it. And people know when you're putting it on and they know when you're sincere. And I think if you do something with passion and sincerity and you dig deep and you tell the truth, people will know that and people will latch on to that. And the thing about you, Wynn, I think you do everything with passion. You do put yourself out there. You do tell things as you see them. You tell the truth. And I think all you need to do is just persevere. This applies to any writer out there. The writers who fail are the ones who fall by the wayside. But if you can find your voice and if you can tell your story with passion and sincerity and truthfully, then if you persevere, your voice will be heard. This is one of the great things about indie publishing these days. You know, you don't have to jump through the hoops that you might have had to jump through of going with a major publisher. So if you have a voice, if you have something to say, and you want to say it with sincerity, then put it out there. If you keep banging that drum, eventually someone will hear. And this is one of the things we've loved hearing from people, you know, the diverse voices that we hear from the listeners on our show. it makes all the difference. Our listeners are just amazing. They've been the best thing about the show so far, no question.
I know they have, and you guys are doing great work. And I am about starting June 11th. I am about to send my manuscript. I'm freelance agent, what they call it in the traditional industry, and I got my query letter. I've worked so hard on this dang book that it's about to kill me, but I know that I'm going to get signed by a big publisher, and I'm even thinking about doing a smaller publishing house in the UK, believe it or not, because you can get a publishing deal anywhere. I've just looked into a publishing house in the UK who takes women's empowerment books. And so, But that...
Wonderful.
Before I get too excited, that journey is going to start on June 11th, and it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks before I hear anything. So, send good vibes to that book, because I'm in the self-publishing industry. I'm not in the big boy industry yet, but I know that someone will pick my story up. And if they like it, they like it. Otherwise, I'll go back to the self-publishing industry with my head held strong. And Mark, that being said, what is your favorite book that you love and go back to time and time again?
My favorite book, it's one of two, I think. Either Good Omens by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman, or The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. I'm not sure I can choose between the two of them. Good Omens is
just give me two.
Oh, okay, thank you. Good Omens is a kind of parody of the Omen movie, where the son of Satan doesn't end up with an American ambassador. He ends up with a really nice family in Surrey and turns out to be a really nice, well-adjusted kid. It's a parody of every apocalypse story you ever heard. And The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I read that when I was 12 years old. It's one of the funniest books ever written. I've made friends through that book. I've discovered it's opened all sorts of new doors to me. So it was one of the first science fiction books I ever read, and I love it. And it's been made into TV shows and radio. It started as a radio show, in fact, but I came across it as a novel. And I think one of the reasons the TV shows and movies have never really worked, but I think one of the reasons for that is just Douglas Adams has this magnificent prose style. It's like stepping into his mind, and it's a nice place to be. It's a fun place to be, and it's a smart place to be. And I love both those books.
So you're saying Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which I know is on Amazon. And what was the other one?
It was Good Omens by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman, which is actually being filmed as a miniseries. In fact, I think they've just finished filming. So hopefully that will be out maybe next year. But the book is just amazing.
Yep. Good Omens and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I know those two could be found on Amazon. You guys, I know that for a fact.
They are.
You had to be educated by anyone, who would it be and why? And it could be inside or outside your field of book publishing.
Well, I thought long and hard about this one, and my first instinct was to go with someone like Yoda. Because, Yoda is wise beyond his years.
He could teach me the ways
of the Jedi. But then you realize he withholds so much information from Luke Skywalker, it gets him in so much trouble later on. Yeah. So I'm not sure about that. I had some amazing teachers at school. There was one teacher, in particular, a woman called Miss Godfrey, who, encouraged us to be creative, encouraged us to be open to creative ideas. And I'm pretty sure she must still be alive out there somewhere, and it would be great to catch up with her again. But, I try and learn from everyone I meet, you know. I think if you're a writer, you have to be interested in people, and you have to try and learn something from everyone you work with, every experience that you go through, try and pick out something that's new.
Yeah, but let's applaud the teachers out there. I don't know if teachers in the UK have the same problem we have in the US, and I say we because I am a teacher as part of my day job. I am a teacher, and the problem that most teachers have is they don't make enough money to live on. And so I keep buffing and squawking about how teachers should make more money, but I don't think my buffing and squawking is doing any good because the predictions haven't changed. I mean, I'm in a film where it's about teaching the kids, but I wish we could make it just a little bit more money. That wouldn't be nice. I don't know if they have the same problem in the UK, but in the US we do have that problem.
Yeah, no, it's funny what we prioritize. You know, there's never enough money for schools or hospitals or library, but if we want to go and bomb some people, suddenly the money's there.
Yeah, there's enough money for the military. No, and there's enough money but there's not enough money in the world for film policy research, although they think they're doing plenty on that. And there's not enough money in the world for sample policy awareness. And there's certainly not enough money in the world for teaching. Hello? It's like, really, you guys? Really? So that's why my second job is an author. And I started that way back when I was volunteering in a teaching setting. I'm like, I got to make money somehow. And so I started with self-taught digital art and did really well in that. And then after my mom died, as I said, I transferred over to books and am doing okay in that. But I hope that within the next 6 years, I'll be able to become a full-time author. And still be an advocate for teachers, but not in the teaching field per se. The reason why I'm slowly but surely walking away from my teaching job is not because of the kids, not because of the admins, it's because of the paycheck. And so, what could you give anyone some sage advice who is now sitting in a cubicle listening to this podcast and they wanna be on Amazon being an independent author? What does it take?
It takes determination, it takes time management. You do need to juggle. Very, very few authors are full-time authors. Most authors I know have either another job or they have several streams of income. And this is something Mark DeVoe talks about a lot, is streams of income. Don't rely on one lump of money coming in, because if you get fired from that job or made redundant or whatever, let go, then you're in big trouble. But if you have several streams of income, so you seem to be doing the right thing. You've got a jewelry thing going on, haven't you? You've got your teaching, you've got different streams of income coming in, and that's something I'm working on now, is just having different bits of money coming in. But I think you have to be passionate about it. You really need to want it, you know, and it can be hard. I mean, I have a full-time job. I get on a train. I'm up at 6 every morning. I get on a train, travel an hour and a half into London, and that's time that I use to write. So I put on my headphones, I block out the world, I write for an hour and a half, then I come in, I do my day job, and then I take another train home, another an hour and a half back out of London, and I'm writing on the way home. So that's 3 hours a day, which doesn't sound like a huge amount, but that can really do some damage if you're doing that every single day. And that's how, in the last few years, I've written, you know, several novels and screenplays and pilot TV shows and short stories and what have you. So, you know, you just have to make it part of your life, and it can take over your life. And this is why I'm saying there are people who fall by the wayside. But if you really want it, if you're passionate about it, if you've got something to say and you want the world to hear it, then you will do the work and it will pay off.
And your day job is in publishing. Am I correct?
That's correct, yeah.
You interviewed me, it looked like you were sitting in a cubicle because it was 6 p.m. there. Trust me, I Googled UK time. And so is your day job supportive of what you're doing out your day job, because it's in publishing, and I don't want to put it this way, but it could be a conflict of interest.
I think if you want to be involved in any, if you want to be involved in an industry, if you say if you're passionate about film, or you're passionate about theatre, or you're passionate about music, or if you're passionate about car racing, whatever your passion is, don't stand on the outside looking in thinking, oh, I wish I could be part of that. Get involved. Open the door. Knock on doors. Tell people you're passionate. Tell people you want to do it. I started working in a bookshop just as a part-time Christmas job over 25 years ago, and I've never looked back. I worked at a bookstore for 5 years. I started working for a publisher not long after that, on the road, selling books. Then I moved into the office side of things. I now look after Amazon for our company here, so I'm dealing with Amazon day in, day out. But it puts me in touch with people in the publishing industry, and because of that, I know lots of people, I see opportunities, and I make the most of them, because this is where I want to be. So it's not a conflict of interest. I mean, when we started out the podcast, for example, I did sit down with our CEO, and I said, look, I'm doing this podcast, we're going to be talking about publishing, and he said, this is fine. He said, just don't slander anyone, don't slander any of our customers, don't, you know, don't say anything defamatory. Which we never were going to do. Ours is a positive podcast. It's best foot forward. You know, we're all about inspiring authors. We get amazing authors on the show. They tell us about their experience, and we inspire the listeners, you know. So that's what we're all about. So, no, there's no conflict of interest. This is where I want to be. So if you want to get into that industry, you know, if you want to make movies, you need to go to Hollywood or New York, you know, depending on kind of TV. If you want to make theatre, you go to Broadway or the West End here. You have to be where the action is. I mean, one of the great things about self-publishing is you can be in Colorado and you can self-publish, and you can do that pretty much anywhere. But I'm fascinated by the publishing industry. I love books. I love bookselling. I love the people in books. I love authors. So to be here in London with a major, major publisher and seeing great authors day in, day out, and speaking to them and seeing their books do so well and succeed. It's, I could be doing any other job, but this is where I want to be at the moment. So I'm lucky to be able to do that.
Yes, you're lucky to be able to do it. And not because I don't love my job. I do love my job. Don't get me wrong. I know my colleagues listen to this podcast, but they're in the struggle. They're still in the same struggle box I am, and it's nothing to do with my disability. My struggle box is just the nature of the beast. It's just the nature of the beast. The industry I decided to go into originally and get my degree in, but it's just the nature of the beast. So don't think, you guys, it's something having to do with my disability and when it's a job. No, it's the struggle bus is a paycheck, and it's just the nature of the beast, and I want to get myself out of it so I can inspire you guys to write books, and I bring people like Mark on to talk about books and talk about the industry and talk about anything they're a little more desired, basically. And so this is why I want to keep this podcast up along with a full-time writing career. And so, Mark, is there any insider tips? Now I'm asking this question to be selfish a little bit here. Is there any insider tips for those of us dealing with create space that you can share with our podcast listeners? Is there any insider tips that you are seeing from a big publisher industry standard? Or no, do we still have to jump on that struggle bus too?
Well, I think, I don't know if this is an insider tip, but the thing that's changed the most in all publishing, it used to be a long straight line, okay? If you can imagine a straight line, you'd have author, agent, publisher, wholesaler, bookstore, reader, okay? You imagine that in a long chain. That's now cracked into a kind of spider web, okay? So you can go to any of those, but you, the author, can jump straight to the reader and have a direct relationship with the reader. If you're an author and you want to reach out to those readers, start building that community today. Set up a basic website, start a basic newsletter, start a blog, get your voice out there, start finding people who share the same passions as you, and start conversations online. That's the great opportunity. I think, you know, this is, and if authors don't have a newsletter or any way of reaching out to those readers, they're going to struggle to sell their books. And this is one of the biggest things I've learned while doing the podcast, is build that community, find that community, make yourself a part of it, be a positive force in that community, encourage others, help others, be a cheerleader for them, and then you will find that they will be a cheerleader for you. And then what you find, people want to help, people want you to succeed. So I'm not a great believer in complaining online. I'm someone who, you know, tries to put positive stuff out there most of the time. And it pays off. You know, if you pay it forward, it gets paid back to you. And I'm a great believer in that. So don't sit there. And this is a problem for a lot of authors, because as I said before, authors generally tend to be shy people. They tend to like being alone, you know, and I know exactly how that feels. Putting yourself out there can kind of be risky. But I think if you want people to hear your voice, you need to put your voice out there. So the only thing I would say is find your community, build your readership, be a positive force, and I think you'll start getting people buying your books, and you know, and hopefully you can start earning a living from it, or at least get your books read, get eyes on your voice.
Yeah, and my books, you guys, could be found all over the place. All over the place. That being said, talking about this weird influence, I got an email out of the blue yesterday from, believe it or not, a publicist who heard me do an interview, and she put in the subject line, "I heard you do this interview. Would you like us to work with you? Hello?" And so I said, "Yes, please, yes, please, yes, please." And we're working out to find details now. And she's in the UK, believe it or not. She's
in
the UK because she has an international phone number, say, on the bottom of the email. But I didn't know that my story would impact the publicist, and for them to find my email address and contact me. I'm like, how cool is that? And so that's my latest project, working with a publicist. And so I'll keep you guys updated on that one. But just get your story out there, people. Just get your story out there, people. It doesn't have to take me and Miss Monk DeVoe to be jabbering on this podcast or jabbering on the bestseller experiment. Just get your story out there and get a good cover designer and get a good editor and or submit your query to an agent and see if that agent will pick you up. Just get your story out there. And look, before I let you go, because I know it's the end of a long Thursday for you.
Oh, this is the highlight of my day, Wynn. Don't worry about that.
Thank you. I say that because sitting in a cubicle, when you look outside and you want to be outside on a train. And so, yeah, I know it's a long Thursday for you. But before I let you go, do you have any questions for me, or should we make my family still listen to the bestseller experiment?
Well, we had a very long conversation on the Bestseller Experiment podcast. I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
I think I asked
yes.
all the questions that I wanted to ask. I mean, I guess I would ask you, you know, this is tricky because we did cover pretty much everything on the podcast, but I guess what would be your dream job? What would be your dream day, basically? Take us from waking up to sleeping again. You know, what would be a perfect day for you? Would you be writing nonstop, or would you be doing other things? Because I'm interested in, because you seem to have so many things going on. And I know what my perfect day would be like. You know, it'd be writing in the morning, a walk, and then maybe, you know, doing some different stuff in the afternoon, maybe some other creative stuff. But, you know, what if you could do anything during the day, what would it be?
Well, my perfect day, and you guys know this is why I fucking squawk, and this is why I'm leaving my job at one day a week, because of my health insurance situation, and my life is going to be changing here in the next couple of years, and because I've been lucky enough where my family did well in Caterpillar tractors, and we didn't sell Caterpillar Electric until 1998. This was in the Bahamas, and turns out that I have a trust fund that we're working on getting set up. So I don't have to go to the day job if I don't want to, but the day job actually keeps me sane. But my perfect day would be waking up in the morning, probably grabbing my iPad and typing away
yeah.
on a book and just publishing books. That would be my perfect day. And then when I get bored, I would probably go out for a walk or do exercise. I promise myself when I get signed with a big publisher that one of the things I promised myself is I would keep myself physically fit, because the problem with the perfect day and the problem with writers is we get fat. I'm sorry, but we get fat, we get complacent because we're sitting in front of a computer and we're trying to punch out deadlines and we're trying to do all that. And so I have come up with a book called Vile Dictation, and it's coming out September 11th. And for those of you who don't know what September 11th was, it is 9/11 here in the U.S. when the planes flew into the World Trade Center in the U.S. and it impacted the world. I mean, I remember my cousin who was in London at the time. Thank you very much. She was in financial at one of the big financial firms, Goldman Sachs. I'm allowed to say that because she doesn't, she owns her own company now in the Bahamas, so I'm allowed to say that. But on 9/11, she heard one of her colleagues on an international conference call line screaming into the telephone because of the World Trade Center. So it impacted the whole world. So that's why my book, Smiling Dictation, is coming out on 9/11. so you guys don't get complaints and then that typing in from the keyboard. You can actually do it with your voice and do it on your iPhone and do it on your iPad and the Mac. Now come with Dragon. They come with Dragon, but Siri built into Mac. And then Dragon actually speaking is both on the Mac side and PC side. And I just want to get people's stories out there.
Well, here's the thing, Wynn. Your perfect day sounds a lot like my perfect day. I'm sure it sounds like the perfect day of a lot of writers out there. And, you know, thinking of things like 9/11, we know that life can be cruel, it can be brutal, it can be short. If you want that perfect day to happen, start thinking about the strategies you can take, the actions that you can take to make that perfect day a reality. Stop dreaming about it and try and make it now. One of the interesting things about our novel, Back to Reality, which is a fun comic novel, it's about second chances. It's about a woman in her 40s. She's stuck in a rut. She's stuck in a regular job. She's kind of bored with it. She discovers her husband's having an affair. Her teenage daughter hates her. But she wanted to be a singer when she was younger, and it never quite happened. And when she walks into her kitchen one day, she sees a 24-year-old version of herself who looks like a rock star. And this 24-year-old version of herself says, "I'm you. I'm from a parallel universe. I need your help." And they swap places. So this woman in her 40s gets to live that dream. She gets a second chance. And it's fun. You know, it's about second chances, about living your dreams. But the thing that Mark and I are very aware of is there is a ticking clock in life. You only get one chance at it. Do not let it pass you by. Start thinking about what you can do to make your dreams a reality, to make that perfect day a reality. How can you make that come about as soon as possible?
And
so I'll leave you with that.
And you guys, I don't know where these guys developed that solar experiment, but what I did is develop, I come a win in a taxi cab and in the back of my mom's vehicle because I took a taxi cab. We drove to the hospital and in my mom's vehicle, so I started developing. I come a win in my mom's vehicle, and then I asked her once. She was in a medically induced coma. She, of course, said yes, as long as you do it gracefully. Then I started developing, I come and win, the manuscript in my head in a taxi cab while going back to the hotel to start the process of leaving. Thank you very much, because we knew my mom was dying and it wasn't going to be a very... It wasn't going to be the recovery that we all expected. Thank you very much, Men and Joyous. But so that's why I'm writing a book on Men and Joyous in honor of my mom and in honor of the struggle bus of families going through Men and Joyous worldwide, because once they plot the brain aneurysm, you can save people's by clotting the brain aneurysm and getting them to the appropriate medical care, but you can't save people's lives with meningitis. So that's why I'm saying get your story out there and get what you need to get out there and get a good editor, get a good cover designer, ask Mark, ask me, ask anyone to proofread your book except your family, because they'll put the I Love You Syndrome on it, and then it goes to HBO Double Hockey Stick. If the I Love You Syndrome is on there. I Love You Syndrome is on all my books. My dad gets to read my books. He is not the best fan in the world because he loves me too much, and so he puts the I Love You Syndrome on that. So it's easier to have outside looking in, and so if you guys just hand me a copy of your books, or don't hand Mark a copy of your books, because it may be a conflict of interest in a day job, but you can certainly have me a copy of your book. I'll be happy to read your books and give you my opinion. We've been there, done that, and Mark is just trying to make a bigger impact on the world from the UK, and that's my public announcement for today. Go listen to Bestseller Experiment, and please, 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 please go buy the Back to Reality. Please, please, please go buy I Comma Win, and please leave a review on both books. It helps the Amazon algorithm, and please support these guys on Patreon. I mean, you don't have to listen to my episode, although we request you do. There's tons of a back catalog on the Bestseller Experiment. So please support these guys. And Mark, where can we find you guys? And where can we find the Bestseller Experiment? And then where can we find your partner in crime? Because I know your partner in crime right now is dealing with medical family crisis, which the medical bills stack up and pop up unexpectedly.
Yeah.
So if you guys go purchase Back to Reality. See, I almost called it Back to Bestseller Experiment. I got his name stuck in my head. Mark, you're the greatest for laughing at me. But when medical bills pop up, you guys, there's nothing you can do about that, even in the U.S. and the U.K. So if you guys go purchase the Back to Reality and support these two guys out, and where can people find you guys, and where can people get
the podcast is available whatever podcatcher you use. So it's on Apple Podcasts. We're at thebestsellerexperiment.com. Online, you'll find everything you need there, all the links you need. If you do want to support us on Patreon, that's fantastic. We're patreon.com/bestseller.bestsellerexperiment. We're on Twitter as well, @bestsellerxp, and on Instagram. My partner in crime, Mark DeVaux, which is DeSvaux, DeVaux. There's a slight French thing going on there. He's online at 4,000 Saturdays. That's 4,000 Saturdays, which is the average number of Saturdays we have in a lifetime. So you can see where he's coming from there. It's quite a scary thought. I'm at Mark's Day Writes. That's my blog. And on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Mark's Day. And I am on Facebook as well.
You're all over the place. And these guys, as soon as this episode comes out, I know that they will come and find me and retweet it. And these guys get about 1,400 downloads the day of launch. I probably spike the podcast because it's me and my story. And my story just got a little bit more complicated on the Bestseller Experiment, which you guys have to go listen to find out why. The decision I made for my writing career, and I'm not giving that one on this podcast. I gave that one to those guys, and that has already come out. So you guys have to go listen to the Bestseller Experiment to figure out what shift I made in my author career, and I'll just leave it at that. But they get about a good number of downloads. I probably broke the Bestseller Experiment when my podcast came out because it's me and it's my story, and I included my disability in that one. So you guys must go check that out, and you guys must get your stories out there, and I'm going to continue getting my stories out there, but I appreciate more coming on the podcast, and you guys will probably hear this podcast tomorrow morning, Friday in the U.S., Saturday in the U.K. If I can get my acts together here, I can hand it off to my assistant so you guys can hear the Bestseller Ask Win Experiment. Thank you very much. See? No pun there. And no pun intended. And so, and the Best Film Experiment comes out every single Monday, and they have great interviews. And if you just type in writing in your podcast players, the Best Film Experiment will come up, and so will a bunch of other wonderful podcasters who do writing. One top one is the Creative Pen, Joanna Penn, which she left her day job in IT to become a full-time writer. She was making good money, but she wasn't happy in the day job, so you might as well be happy with your work. And so get your story out there, and Mark and I are here to support you, and so is Mark DeVoe, even though he's dealing with family right now. He's still out there probably working on a book. And so most of all, most say myself, Joanna Penn is here to support you. We're all really active on Twitter, so if you guys have any questions, just tweet any of us, the Bestseller XP, When Kelly Calls, which is yours truly, the Creative Penn, which is Joanna Penn. And Joanna Penn has a full blog devoted to it. I actually found my cover designer, thank you, to Joanna Penn's blog. And so there's a whole ton of us out there doing the creative thing. So if you're just scared, just hop on Twitter and say help, because Amazon is a whole beast in itself. And so I appreciate Mark's time today. And I hope you guys enjoy a best episode and with Mark and I, and talking about the my favorite thing in the world other than teaching is writing books, and people know that, and people know that I am doing this journalism degree, even though it's about skilly. But I will become a fashion journalist, then step away from my day job and become a full-time writer and enjoy my perfect day. Thanks to you guys. Bye.
Thanks, Wynn. Oh, she gone. He gone, Wynn.